Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our Ideas Matter segment, where we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today we'll be speaking with New York Council for the Humanities public scholar Victoria Alexander about the relation between art and science and the novelist Vladimir Nabokov. In addition to being a council public speaker, Victoria is director of the Dactyl Foundation, where she facilitates interaction between artists and scientists. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Victoria Alexander to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for taking the time out. So what got you thinking about this relationship?
Well, I started out as an English PhD, and I was studying narrative theory and Vladimir Nabokov. And Vladimir Nabokov was also the world's most famous butterfly scientist. And so I became interested in evolutionary theory and how that related to creativity. And it was sort of a coincidence how I really got into working in the sciences. I started to work in the complexity sciences. I was out at Santa Fe, and I went to interview a physicist at the Santa Fe Institute about coming to Dactyl Foundation to speak to artists and other people who were interested in the complexity sciences and how that worked with visual arts. And on my way to interview him, I found this large moth that has the eye spots on it. And it was dying or something, but it was still sort of alive. And I picked it up and brought it with me to the interview. So it's just sort of a coincidence that he asked me about it, and I said, oh, I'm working on Vladimir Nabokov and his theory of evolution, particularly insect mimicry. And I didn't realize it, but they were also working on something that's called neutral evolutionary theory at the Santa Fe Institute. And many of the things that they were working on happened to be what Vladimir Nabokov was interested in, too. And they were stunned that somebody in the 1940s, a novelist, no less, was already working on these ideas. And so the conversation started. And so it's very interesting how, why is it that a novelist might be better or good at recognizing patterns in nature and understanding evolutionary processes and creativity? What is it about the whole process of creating a world in fiction? Does that help you understand how things are created in the natural world too? And so I've been pursuing that ever since.
So let's start off. I understood most of what you just said. So... But I want you to clarify a little bit. And I guess it gets down to basic definitions of art and science.
It does. I like to come up with a very abstract definition of art and science so that it can apply to various things. I also study various biological processes, like cell interactions, when cells interact with their environments and different chemical processes take place. And there's sometimes creativity involved in those processes. And so the best way that I have of explaining what most people think of when they think of science is it's sort of automated behavior, automated thinking, a habitual kind of thinking that has developed over time and, through trial and error, various formulas for understanding things come to be used as tools for understanding things. And art comes in every time that habit is tested against something in that habit of thinking is tested in reality. And, something goes wrong with the experiment, and the habit doesn't work. And at the moment that a new habit begins to form, about thinking about some problem in the world is when you have the artistic moment, the development of a new way of thinking. And so when I look at various things like creativity in art and creativity in nature, usually we see this kind of thing going on, an old habit being replaced by a new one.
So when you look at this and then again bring in Nabokov into this as to how that fits in, and is that an example, or does that become the work itself? Does that make sense?
I guess both. One of the things that's most important to me with my work with the Council for the Humanities is trying to promote the idea that studying poetry, studying art, actually improves your ability to think about logical things and to be a better scientist. And a lot of people can't really understand how that could be. We have this notion of the artist as being a bit of a fuzzy thinker. You know, they dwell upon puns, and they see similes and metaphors that aren't really logical. And sometimes when you get engineers in poetry classes, they're just scratching their heads, you know, this doesn't make any sense. And it turns out that a lot of creativity in nature and the way our brains work isn't really very machine-like or logical. And when I look at intelligent processes that you see in biology, it looks a bit like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Right.
If you know that, if you don't know Rube Goldberg, you can think of the game Mousetrap.
Yes.
And when intelligent behavior, even of a single cell or a person, it often doesn't make a lot of sense. If you look at intelligent steps that the cell might go through, this chemical reaction leads to that one, it leads to this one, it leads to that one, and then finally something productive for the cell occurs. But how did that weird link get set up? It's like the mousetrap game. You know, you drop a ball, and that goes down a ramp, which triggers this thing to fall over, which triggers that to break, and then this happens. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, apparently, but that's the way our brains seem to work. And this is important for understanding, like, the new fields of developing artificial intelligence, too, which is something else that I talk about, is intelligence doesn't really work on, you know, like an algorithm, if X, then Y. Our intelligence is more like if A, B, C, X, and Y, then maybe C, or sometimes D. And that might seem like that kind of thinking would not work or not be predictable, but the world is very unpredictable, and we need extremely flexible systems in order to adapt to new situations. So actually that kind of thinking is more reliable as long as it gets refined and the trial and error selection occurs. One of the amazing things about Nabokov's work is he had a theory of a particular type of butterfly when it migrated to America and down to South America. And everyone thought his theory was absurd at the time. And then later when they did genetic sequencing on the butterflies, he was proved to be absolutely correct.
Right.
Which is kind of amazing. How did he see that just by looking at the specimens? Well, artists are very good at recognizing patterns.
We are out of time, but I want to remind people that they can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and find links to this work and how they can find out more information about your work. Victoria Alexander is a novelist and a philosopher of science and director of the Dactyl Foundation. Victoria, great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.